to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 8, 2022, by Bishop Kimo Kiabe of the Independent Catholic Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when you're up here, you don't realize what people's faces look like when you sit out there. You kind of like see everybody's back of their heads or see what they look like from the back, but you don't really see everybody till you come up here. And it's good to see so many smiles out here this morning. You know, I've always was a little bit weary when it comes to sharing a reflection about the Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's only because I was given this idea when I was really small about sheep. Sheep are kind of animals that have a minimum problem-solving ability. They get easily distracted. But it's also told that they were rather stupid animals. Now, given that thought, when I was small and an acolyte, sitting there on a Good Shepherd Sunday and hearing my pastor talk about the flock, about us and the sheep, I used to think, well, I could be easily distracted. Maybe I do have a problem-solving ability, but I didn't think I was a stupid animal. But I discovered another way at looking at sheep. You see, it would appear that most of the negative information about sheep can be traced back to cattle ranchers who do not like sheep around for that very same reason. They may have sheepdogs, but that's entirely different. Because with the cows can be kind of like go where they're supposed to go. The cowboys come, they crack their whips, they make a lot of noise, and the cows tend to move forward. Well, not with sheep. And I've learned that because my wife was here. Her family were ranchers. And my in-laws lived in Kamauela on the island of Hawaii, the Big Island, as many of us know that place. And we were invited many times to go see branding by the Parker Ranch where they were employed. See how they brand the cows and of course the castrations and feasting on the mountain. You know, meatballs, but that's a story for another time about the castration. But it doesn't work with sheep. You see, if you do that, you make all these noises, sheep will run in circles. They get confused. They can't go anywhere because sheep need to be led. And they'll go anywhere where their leaders go first. Sheep or the flock need their shepherd to guide them. And things get a little bit dodgy and they kind of like lose their way, then the shepherd, of course, goes out and finds that lost sheep. And this is what Jesus seemed to understand about this very unique relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Now, he knew that all the while, the sheep may look the same to an outsider, a sheep may look the same to us, but a good shepherd knows his sheep individually and may even know them by name. Certainly, that is what Jesus had in mind when he told that story about a shepherd leaving the 99 sheep behind to look for that one lost sheep. Jesus would have us understand that this is the nature of God's persistent love for every one of us. I find it kind of interesting, though, with our evangelist John this morning. He tells us that events in our gospel that Father Eric read occurred during the wintertime. Now, there are only two mentions or references of any type of weather in the scripture. The first one was a Song of Solomon in chapter 2, verse 12, when Solomon says, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The garden and the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. Well, with Michigan, you never know when the winter ends. You know, it can be fine, like this whole week will be sunny, but I looked at the weather next week, Sunday, it's supposed to be storming. So we never know. Now, the only, in the New Testament, the only reference to weather is what we heard in this morning's gospel lesson. It was a feast of the dedication of Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Now, we know that John was not a meteorologist. So I believe that when he refers to the winter in the gospel, he was referring to that spiritual climax expressed by those who were opposed to Jesus, and especially his message. They were more like a wind-chilled factor of hostility and endless criticism for the religious leaders in Jerusalem, cut through Jesus and through his disciples to the bone. All of this negativity, blasting them with that cold air of ridicule and resentment. It reminds me of the time when I, 1972, when I came to the Midwest for the very first time to go to college, to go through my postulancy and my novitiate year, and I was in Chicago, Illinois of all places. And it reminds me of my very first winter, walking from the monastery to Lewis University and having that wind chill just kind of cut through you, you know? So this is what Jesus was referring to in this whole situation with the leaders. Into, though, this very Arctic atmosphere, Jesus had spoken those beautiful words that compared his followers' love and trust for him to that wonderful relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus was standing here, and he proclaimed that. The very last thing he would tell you is, and you can count on that. Now, I suppose we should not be surprised to learn that the heart of our Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, remains the most difficult concept for the enlightened scientific people to accept. Legends of rational individuals will give no credence to the claim that one who is declared dead could be raised from the dead and come back to life. That is why around Easter time, when people come up to me and debate me and tell me, what is it that makes this possible for this man, Jesus, to be raised from the dead? There is no argument or arrangement of compelling bits of evidence that will convince anyone to believe in the resurrection. So, don't argue during Easter time. Instead, we proclaim, we celebrate, we revel in the truth that gives an outlook and a purpose in our lives. I would kind of insist that you cannot convince anyone to believe in the resurrection through persuasive arguments. So Jesus did the same. He would not try to win these cultured despisers over that power of his persuasion. Instead, he simply pointed to his disciples, his followers, and those who believed in him. He insisted that faith is not an acquisition that comes through arguments or even through experiments. Faith comes through loving, trusting relationships that are personal and vital to each one of us. And to emphasize this point, Jesus made his reference to the way the sheep are known by the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Think about it. Isn't this the intimacy that we want? I think we all yearn to know and to be known by the Good Shepherd. When I think about this fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, I look at and hear all the message that was read today, the text, Psalm 23, and of course the gospel, lifting us up for this magnificent hope. And Jesus makes it clear that his sheep, his flock, you and I, are not stupid beasts, but we are that beloved son and daughter who have been redeemed from pain, gathered through confusion, and brought out from darkness into the light. Jesus expresses his love and commitment to his followers when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I give those who follow me the gift of eternal life, and they will never perish." He wants us to know that of his great love and concern for us, that he will always provide for us and what we need in times of danger. Jesus will protect us, just like how we have Progressive car insurance to protect us when we get into an accident. What Jesus tried to say to the Jewish leaders who were demanding, not asking, demanding answers, is precisely what I believe he would tell us today. That faith is not the result of any intellectual pursuit or a case of getting questions answered, but that faith is the ability to hear the shepherd's voice, find that connection, find that peace and confidence from this intimate association. I know that there are many different understandings of what it means to be a believing Christian. Some, and I know many of you have heard this, some is rooted in the ability to answer this one question: when did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Others may assume that a believer is a person who can give a witness to Jesus Christ at all times, in all settings, in all situations. Still, others will identify being a believer with faithful participation in worship. But if we listen carefully to what Jesus said to those who were harassing him with their demands for answers, what did he say? "I have told you, but you do not believe. Because you do not belong to my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." I think this means that not only is the image of Jesus as a good shepherd a source of emotional joy and visual pleasure, but it just may give us a valuable insight into what it means to be a Christian. We are the sheep who know the shepherd's voice, and from that knowledge, we gain that confidence, we gain that purpose, and we gain that hope. This means that faith is more than an intellectual understanding. Faith is trust. Faith is a willingness to follow and not always be in charge. Faith is the ability to remain calm in those moments and situations when maybe we cannot hear the shepherd's voice as clearly as we would like to. This image of the good shepherd also reminds us that we cannot follow by ourselves. Think about it. We cannot follow by ourselves. We have the assurance of a love that will pursue us if we go astray. But the intention is for us to be connected, to be a part of a flock, if you will. I've been here just over a year, having been introduced to this parish, to Father John, and meeting Father Eric. So I urge you today to remain in this fellowship, especially here at St. Philip's, because it is here with others, like all of you who are here, it is here that we have that best chance to know the joy of him who loves us. We heard the good news today. We have a loving shepherd God who knows us and who loves us. We hear his voice, and by his grace, we follow him. He promises us that nothing will ever separate us from him, neither in this life or in the life to come. As he said, no one shall snatch us up from his hands. So what does that mean? Well, we all said it this morning in the Psalm, Psalm 23, in verse 6, when it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.